You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Holy Mountains of the World! It's a 95BFM special announcement.
Tell you what, we are pumped on this one, aren't we? We should say a big warm welcome to the one and only Buzz Moller from Voom. Kia ora.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, BFMers out there, for having me.
We've got some big news for you. Obviously, people have known that there is a brand new album on the way from Voom. We've talked about this a couple of weeks ago when you're in here.
Yeah, and this is bigger news than it would be for any other normal band, right?
Yes, it is big news. It is big news. Something good is happening. It's out May 16th. It was actually not, it's like a month away now. We're the 15th, right?
Yeah.
About a month out.
Yeah.
And to celebrate, you are bringing a new live show to Double Whammy Friday the 23rd of May. Tickets are on sale now from moshtix.co.nz. 95BFM presents Voom. Excellent. Exciting. Yes. Have you guys played Double Whammy before?
Yeah, we have. We played at the Others Way.
Yes.
Last year.
How do you rate the room? Is it a Voom room?
Oh, yeah. It's a great room. Better than I thought, actually, because it's just I played in both the rooms that it used to be made out of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where you put one and one together and make three.
Yes.
It's like it's got, there must be like a threshold amount of people that you can get in a room to create a certain type of energy or something like that. And it's not too comfortable, and people tend to be sort of like pushing around, and there's a bit of energy in there. And yeah, it's great. It's like, we needed something like that after the King's Arms.
Yes, I feel, you know, it's got that kind of feel to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's got a place where you can go and talk just nearby. Mm-hmm. In a bar.
Like the garden, you can, like, if you need to, like you can chill out.
Yeah. There's no place where people can climb up some massive wall and jump over the fence to get in for free, but, you know, you had to risk your life to do that.
Yeah, it's a bit more difficult. Well, on one of those walls at the King's Arms, there was some barbed wire as well you had to deal with.
I'd like to say, if anyone ever did that, climbed up that huge wall and climbed over the fence to get in the King's Arms, you should ring up now and we will give you a free Voom album when it comes out.
309-3879. Yeah. Now, hey, shall we get into it? Well, you're going to stick around for a bit. You're here with us co-hosting until 9:30-ish.
Coasting.
Let's play I Love You Girl from the brand new album.
Okay.
And we'll come back and maybe you can choose a few songs, and we'll just, if you've got any good tales from the days of old about Voom.
That's all we've got.
Yeah.
Lots of those.
All right. Buzz Moller from Voom here on BFM Breakfast. 5395 if you have any questions for Buzz.
I love you, girl.
Voom, Will They Love You Girl. Hey, now Buzz Moller, for a band like Voom who have been around for a considerable amount of time and have also got actually quite a big catalogue of songs, how do you go about putting together a set list when you're playing?
Yeah. Oh, that's a long, complicated process.
Yes, you okay.
We just do the same ones every time. No, actually, that's... I once looked up, there's a website you can go to called setlist.com, and you can see all the famous bands of the world and everyone, what their set lists are at every gig they ever play, mm-hmm. and how they change from one gig to the next
yes.
and stuff. And you look at a band like Rolling Stones, and they always start off with the same three songs, and they always end off with the same three songs, and they'll change, you know, like a bunch in the middle.
Meat and sandwich, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I used to be a teacher at Maine's Music School, and until it got closed down after the flooding, and we always used to talk to students about how to build set lists.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what you do is you start off with some well-known ones and you know, some upbeat well-known ones or whatever, and then you can go down and then you finish off with some good mm-hmm. ones at the end. And because our ones are all good, you know, we just randomly choose any old thing and just start, you know. We used to just turn up on stage and just say, yell out a song and we'll play it.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. Like, people really got engaged when you did that, because it's like, oh, I could do the next, you know, and they all shouted out songs. Okay, that one, that, yep, all right, we'll do it. And
everyone in the band pretty happy yeah. to operate that way? Or is there someone in the band who's like, oh, no, we have to play this bloody song?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Nick's always saying that.
Now, we're going to play a song called Marijuana Bee. Tell us about this.
Marijuana Bee, okay, that's of our first album. The reason I chose it is because we recorded it right where I'm sitting, exactly right here, exactly 30 years ago.
To the day.
And in this room here, mm-hmm. which looked pretty much identical.
Yes.
Except that... No, it just looked absolutely identical, and I was doing the kids' show at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd come in here with a great big huge sack of cassettes every Sunday morning and pour them out on the desk, make this huge noise, and all the kids would ring up and talk for 2 hours and
yes.
stuff. And we came up, and it was me and Danny and Mac, who are the kind of like the original three, and we sat here, and I think... I'm playing acoustic guitar into the microphone as hard as I can, distorting it. Danny's playing an electric guitar that he plugged into the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And Mac is, he bought his snare drum and a little drum and to make it sound like a drum kit sort of thing. And we recorded it here for a laugh. And then BFM, I don't know who the program director was at the time, might have been Earl, Bill Curtin,
mm-hmm.
and he put it on the playlist. And it was number one for like a month or something, or two months.
So good.
And then we decided to put it on our first album, the BFM studio recording of it. So this is just us sitting right here.
We're 30 years ago to the day.
Yeah.
Almost to the minute, actually,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that this was recorded.
Almost to the minute, yeah.
Oh, wow. Shall we hear it? All right, here we go. Make sure everything's turned on and I'm not feeding back into the microphone.
I'm not afraid to
And Johnny was jumping around the room and his head's flying off and he's broken his arm.
Yeah, I've got a broken... I'm operating the studio with a broken arm at the moment.
Do your listeners
moment.
Know you've got a bright red broken arm?
A bright red cast? I don't know. I talked about it with Natural Ange on Thursday and she gave me some helpful diet
She's
tips
awesome.
To speed up the recovery.
The
but
healing.
Buzz, we've got some texts come through, actually.
Okay.
These are questions for you, mate. Buzz, what year did you start the kids show? We were talking about it on Sunday because Finn is making a doco.
Is he?
Mm.
Okay, so in the 80s, I was a share broker. In the 87 crash, I was on the floor of the stock exchange as a trader. And then I lost my job with everyone else in the office after the crash. And I was walking down Crean Street and I saw these people doing ornamental plastering on the outside of an old building and stuff. I became a plasterer. And then I started making music and I bought this four-track cassette recorder and I made a song and it was called Butcher's Daughter. And some guy who put a compilation cassette together put it on that and then someone came up to me about a year later and said, "Do you know your song's number one on BFM?" And I said, "Oh, what's BFM?" You know, and so I checked it out and came and had a look and stuff, and it was this pretty much like this, except grungier.
Yep.
And everyone was wearing black and everyone was just playing hardcore punk. And I just ended up hanging out here quite a bit. And then I came up with this idea of doing a kid show because no one was doing kid shows anymore. And when I was little, I used to love getting up on Sunday morning and listen to the stories on the radio. So I suggested it, and they were like, "Whoa, that's left field, okay." And they gave me half an hour between 6:30 and 7 on a Sunday morning. I was like, "Oh, geez, okay." So half the time I'd stay up all night and then come in here after the graveyard shift. And that was in 1989, probably April 1989. And it was Graham Hill, Graham Humphreys. He was the program director then. He gave me that slot. And then within 2 months, they said, "Oh, you can have 2 hours between 7 and 9. So from 1989 till 1997, I did every single. So that was 8 years, Sunday morning, 7 till 9, doing.
Isn't it crazy how fast that years goes up here?
Oh, amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's amazing. This place is like some sort of weird time machine where time just passes and you don't even know.
Yeah. There goes your life, Johnny.
Yeah.
You'll still be here, man. 30 years' time.
No, hopefully not. I feel sorry for the listeners if that was the case. Now, well, now what do we got? We've got more questions coming through, but we've got some news. So I reckon we hit the news buzz and
yes, love the news. We love
come
the
back
news.
After this.
BFM News.
Atamari, good morning. Ko jol toko ingoa, ko te iwa karaka. It's 9 o'clock. Foreign Minister Winston Peters says he will not respond to critiques of military language such as trade war while overseas and will do so when he is back in New Zealand. This follows Peters criticising Prime Minister Christopher Luxon for not briefing him during trade discussion with world leaders, with Peters calling the comments being used as hysterical and short-sighted. Luxon says the dispute is a media beat-up and that all ministers were on the same page about not wanting to see a trade war. Peters, who is currently in Hawaii, told RNZ Pacific that he will be dealing with domestic matters when he is back in the country. Greymouth and its wider district remain under a boil water notice after its water supply remains contaminated. The West Coast town has been under a boil water notice since last Wednesday after it was found one of its water sources was contaminated by coliform bacteria. Greymouth was expected to lift the notice this weekend, although it has remained in place after further testing continued to find low levels of bacteria. Grey District Mayor Tanya Gibson says that the cause of the contamination will likely never be known. Officials are hopeful the situation will soon clear up and are currently not worried about access to water, with bottled drinking water being supplied daily from Canterbury. And in international news, Pakistan has requested a comprehensive investigation after 8 Pakistani migrants were killed in Iran's bordering province of Sistan Baluchistan. The 8 migrant workers were mechanics from Pakistan's Punjab region and were reportedly killed by a group of assailants 200 kilometres from Pakistan's border. The Baloch Nationalist Army, a small Baloch independence group trying to break away from Iran, has claimed responsibility for the attack. Both Iran and Pakistan have condemned the attack and have promised to coordinate their investigation efforts. Some experts, however, say the attacks merely highlight the rising sense of confrontation between the two nations, especially along their shared border, where clashes are not uncommon. And Southern California has been hit by a 5.2 magnitude earthquake. The quake, which occurred early Monday morning local time, occurred roughly 56 kilometers northeast of San Diego and 193 kilometers south of Los Angeles. The epicenter was in the small mountain town of Julian, with a population of 2,000. Despite this, San Diego County Police and the Sheriff's Department say no immediate details of injuries or damage have been reported. Rata Kau Purongo, and that's the news.
A 95BFM weather update.
Ane nā tohu hoarere mō tēnei rā, your weather report for today. Mostly fine with some cloud thickening but chance of a shower, with south-southeasterly winds becoming fresh easterly strengthening overnight. A high of 24 degrees with an overnight low of 17 degrees. Sunrise this morning was at quarter to seven, and sunset this evening will be at 4 minutes to 6. Nei nā tohu hawairere mō te apōpō, your weather forecast for tomorrow, Rāpa Wednesday. Cloudy and cool with rain developing, possibly heavy at times, with strong easterlies to possible gale overnight. Arā te kā pūrongo, arā te tohu hawarere, and that's your weather.
From the dark room to the green room, it's the 95BFM Surf Report, thanks to ProGear Photographic.
Āne nā āhuatanga o Tangaroa mō tēnei rā, your surf report for today. Ki te tai rafti on the east coast. Up to 6 feet of east swell with moderate to strong southeast tending winds. Taipari high tide is at 8:30 this morning, and Taitima low tide is at 3 this afternoon, giving you a score of 2 out of 10. Ki te tai Hauuru on the west coast. Up to 7 feet of southwest swell with gentle cross offshore southeasterlies, moving to moderate offshore easterlies. Taipari high tide is at 10:45 this morning, and Taitima low tide is at 5 this afternoon, giving you a score of 6 out of 10. And that's your news, weather and surf. Thanks to Liam for writing the news bulletin this morning. Ko Joel toko ingoa. The time's now 4 minutes past nine.
Thank you, Joel. I'm going to pull that down there. Now we've got Buzz Moller in studio with us this morning. Why, you ask? Because 95BFM presents Voom, celebrating the release of their forthcoming album, Something Good Is Happening. It's been in the works for a long time. It's been a wee while between Voom albums. It's out May 16th. And Voom are bringing a brand new live show to Double Whammy on Friday the 23rd of May. You can get your tickets right now from moshtix.co.nz. Buzz, we're getting texts through from people who've got questions for you. Someone is asking, "Hi there, we'd love to know if Buzz intends to take any more songwriting classes in the future. Thank you, shy fan."
I would love to. Excuse me.
Now, you taught songwriting at Mains, right?
Yeah, so Mains is like Polytech. Mm-hmm. You can get a degree in music, in performance and songwriting and composition and playing an instrument, all that sort of stuff. And I taught there for 10 years up until 2 years ago, the floods. It was about 2 years ago that Auckland was just like completely waterlogged, eh? And Mains got flooded, and because it's all studios with double thickness walls and instruments everywhere, it was just catastrophic that it got flooded, and in the end they had to close it down, which was a real bitch. You know, like, it was such a good place and so many good teachers there, and I just loved teaching there.
Now, tell us about your journey as far as like teaching music, because I'm assuming you probably didn't start out with too much of a, I suppose,
intellectual knowledge.
Yes.
How did, or whatever.
Yeah. How did it change? How did you begin your songwriting journey, and how did it change over time?
Well, I mean, I wrote songs when I was 7 years old. I've just done it my whole life, and I've done it with no brains whatsoever, just instinctively going, you know. And I can remember at one point, about the time when we started Voom in the early 90s, I was so obsessed with the idea that you had to just improvise it. All music had to be improvised. I don't know why I got so extreme about that, but I wouldn't do anything unless I was making it up on the spot, because I felt like if you wrote something and then you re-performed it later, you were acting and it wasn't authentic, you know. And everything that was real was right now, you know. And so we became this jamming band, and we just used to improvise, and we just used to go, we used to sing songs. I would just sing a song. But 1, 2, 3, 4, go! Yeah, okay, you know, like, whatever. And so most of our, like, eight of the 12 songs in our first album, including that Marijuana Bee song, were improvised in front of the microphone. So those recordings are just us making it up on the spot. And then at some point, I remember watching Elvis Presley singing a song on stage, and it moved me so much. And then I saw Nina Simone, and it was the same thing. I thought, these people are singing pre-written songs, and they're so connected and authentic in the moment of singing it. Maybe you don't have to just make it up on the spot. Maybe you can actually get there. And so I started writing proper songs and stuff. And then I had a dream. I had a real vivid dream where I was a songwriting teacher, and I was teaching melody patterns to this classroom of famous people, and I was saying, you know, there's this pattern of three, and it's got this little motif in it, and it repeats three times, and I said, it's an all famous songs, and this is in my dream, and I said, so if someone in the class tell me a song and it'll have that pattern in it, and I'll show you. And someone put up their hand, and they said, I don't want to set the world on fire by the ink spots. This is still in my dream, right? And I was like, what the fuck? That's like a mega, mega old song for you smart ass. That's from the 1930s, right? So anyway, I said, okay, sing it how it goes. And they sang it and was like, I don't want to set the world on fire. And I said, okay, so I don't, and I wrote it on the board like a little two dots, I don't want to set the world, there's the second repeat, on fire, there's the third repeat with a slight variance in it, right? And that's the pattern, repeat the same thing three times and on the third one vary it slightly. Anyway, that was some crazy dream that I had, and I woke up in the morning, I thought, I wonder if that's true, I wonder if that's an actual real pattern, because I'd never thought about patterns before. And the first song I listened to was on the TV that morning, and it was Kermit the Frog singing a song about clouds or something, you know. Why are there so many songs about rainbow? What's on the so three patterns, right? Repeating. And I thought, oh my God, that's right. And then I listened to it was when they were doing the best song of the 20th century or something like that, and they decided it was Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So I listened to the pattern of that, and it was like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, way up high, da da da. And it was, there's that three again. And anyway, it was just a funny little thought that I had. And I met some guy at a party, and I was telling him about it. And he says, I'm a teacher at Maine's. You should come in and teach that to my class. So I said, okay. So I went in and I did a 2-hour lecture to these 40 kids in a room. And he came up to me and he said, you've got to come back next week and do it again, you know. So I came back the next week, and then I was full-time employed after that, teaching at Maine's, teaching songwriting.
Now, did that evolve, you know, did you start pulling in more theory into your learnings and into your teachings? Like, how did you get deeper into this?
I was completely aware of the fact that I'd done it all my whole life with no theory, and now I was teaching it and starting to read and starting to learn. I did a master's degree and did a thesis in the patterns of songs. My thesis was song structure, the history of song structure from 1847 till now. You know, and I was getting deep into the and at the same time.
Did you find it helped your writing?
No.
Makes it harder.
Well, I was trying to find I could do it completely without any. I don't know, just from doing it lots as a kid, you know. And I was trying to find a way where you could teach songwriting to be instinctive, you know, and I did actually find a really good way of helping people write more instinctively and better songs and sprinkle in little bits of theory to help them stop going off the wrong track, or to help them when they're trying to get too intellectual, help them to, if you're going to get intellectual at all, don't do it in the moment of making it up, do it later. You know, like you have this improvising mode, which is really powerful, and then later on you have a crafting mode, maybe the next day or something like that, in the different parts of your brain. And so there's definitely a way, and I truly believe that every human being can write songs and every human being is gifted, you know, like that. It's just that most people don't know it and haven't done it much when they were little. But a song is basically lyrics and melody. And when you talk, every human being's a talker, right? You're improvising for a start. You're improvising the words, and there's a melody going on when you're talking. And it's, you've got an engine in your brain for melody and words and improvising, which is an amazing, and all the song is a slightly exaggerated version of that, right? So if you tap into it and just get confident and free with it, it just comes, you know? And if you're feeling something emotional at the time you're doing it, it gets even better, you know? So it's like, that's what I taught mostly, was how to get in that mode.
Yes.
Where it all just happens instinctively.
Oh, right? Amazing. Amazing. Now, we've got a tune lined up from Voom featuring Phaser Days. Tell us about this.
You know Amelia, right? She's famous. I played with her 2 weeks ago at the power station. She asked me if I would help her write some songs for her album, that album that's just come out. And so I used to turn up, and at the time she was working at Roundhead Studios, and we'd just sit there and make up songs and stuff. And this song was magic. I wrote it for her and then sent it to her, and she goes, "Oh man, that sounds way too much like a Voom song." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Why don't you?" I said, "Why don't you just like make up a verse, and then we'll call it a collab. We'll do a like a featuring. We'll do it as a Voom song featuring you or whatever." She said, "Okay." So we ended up doing that, and like everything, half of it was, I think it was done in the latter stages of lockdown. So you've got vivid memories of being in a bedroom stuck, you know, working on something. And it's like music is a really cool way to get freedom in your head. So when everyone, you know, was locked down or things were, you know, just putting headphones on and diving into your recording process and making up a song, it's a great escape, you know. And so I was just thinking, what do I want to feel? You know, I'm not feeling great, just stuck here with my kids in the house and everyone's grumpy. What do I want to feel? And I just like, I want to feel like this, you know.
Excellent. Shall we hear it? Here we go. This is Voom Magic featuring Phaser Days. Don't forget, you can catch Voom playing at Whammy Friday, 23rd of May. Get your tickets from moshtix.co.nz. We actually have a double pass to give away as well, which we'll do in the next 15 minutes. We'll make up a way to give it away.
Yeah, we haven't had anyone who's climbed up the King's Arms wall and jumped over the wall.
No,
right?
We haven't, have we? Maybe we could get some people to like phone us and see how fast they can run around the house. Is that a good way to do it as well?
Yeah. Did you listen to the kids show in the 90s?
Hey, is all I say. Excuse me while I die inside, but it's okay.
You got the magic in me. keep coming back. What kind of magic is that? What kind of magic is that?
Haha, got you with a cut-off ending there, mate.
I'm quickly, but I'm like spinning plates in here. Now, Buzz Moller from Voom, off here, I was just asking if you have any like huge or big memories of, you know, like performing alongside other people, like playing the Big Day Out or getting a big support slot with Voom. Have you done anything
big gigs.
Like that has really...
Not big memories, big gigs.
Big gigs?
Small memories.
Yeah.
They're still way back in there somewhere.
Is there anything that you've managed to tick off that you've been like super proud to have done or, you know, really excited? You're like, oh man, I got to meet Jarvis Cocker, you know?
I did. Got to meet Jarvis Cocker at the North Shore Events Centre supporting Pulp. I don't know what year that was. It would have been close to... 20-something years ago, and that was a cool venue, 15,000 people, and I can't remember what we played like, but it was just fun being there, you know, and Pulp were amazing. Yes. I remember watching Jarvis Cocker and going, oh, Jesus, you know, he's like next level, he's so amazing on stage, you know, so animated and so free, and what other, I mean, the first gig we ever played was like that. The first gig Voom ever played was in 1993 at the Pelican Bar in Elliott Street, the start of the grunge movement, and Nirvana had just hit, and we had Bill Curtin, the program director from BFM, was playing drums, and that was our first ever gig. And we got kind of, we were supporting JPSE, Trumbull Sartre Experience, who were a real cool band at that time, and we got offered 7 gigs coming off stage, and we were like, whoa, we're going to be famous and stuff, and one of the guys was Paul Keane from the Bats Dunedin band, who were quite big then.
I actually spoke to him the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Great guy, eh?
Yeah, he was so fun.
Super
to talk
lovely
to
guy.
Yep.
And he says, we're playing Power Station next week, would you support us? So that was our second gig, was playing the Power Station.
Awesome.
And that first gig that we did, you know, I don't know how, but we were amazing, and everyone rushed the stage, and you know, and then we played at the Power Station the next week supporting the Bats, and we were dreadful. We were like terrible. It was like big pregnant silence in between every song, and it was like, and I was so confused. It was like, how can we be so good and so bad? Like, those are the first two gigs we ever played, and you know, like, I realized slowly over the years, music is very slippery like that, you know, and you can't just wing it, you know, and getting up playing on a big stage is so different from playing on a small stage. And
yes,
you've really got to bring a different energy, and you can't muck around between songs and have a big crowd just watching you muck around, and you know, completely.
How does someone drum up that big energy? How do you do it?
I think you just have to, you have to play a lot. You have to do it, and then you've got to match the energy. So, like, if you've got, I don't know, 100 people in front of you, you can sort of like connect with them and match them and stuff. When you've got like 1,000 people in front of you, it's a completely different animal. It's like you've got to connect with them somehow and match their energy. You know, like whatever you put out, and it can't be fake, because it doesn't matter what size. Everyone can spot it when you're faking it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, I remember that guy, Laurence Olivier, saying that when you act on stage, you have to be way bigger than normal life, and you have to be way louder than normal life. And it's really hard for new people to be authentic and real inside all that exaggeration, you know.
Yeah.
And you just have to practice it and then learn to be exaggerated and real at the same time. I think playing big gigs is like that. You've just got to get, you can't be small and shoegazy and do nothing. Otherwise, people would go, you know, come on, they'll start, because they're far further away and they're in a big crowd, so they don't care, and they'll throw something at you, and you know, it can spiral down quite quickly. You know?
Now, you've brought in some music this morning. You mentioned earlier that you've got a musical family, a musical household. You got some kids who are bringing you songs every single day.
I have a 20-year-old son and a 21-year-old son. He turned 21 last week, and a 23-year-old daughter. And I tried to dissuade them from becoming songwriters, but you know, it's like trying to dam up a mountain stream, isn't it? All you can do is like let them do their thing. They've both ended up being bloody songwriters, and they're both living in the house. They've both got their little bedrooms that are studios, you know. And every morning they come up and they play me, oh, I wrote this one yesterday, Dan, wrote this one. I go, Jesus, that's better than my song. Okay, I won't play you my song. Yeah. And it's pretty cool. It's like in my household, it's like all this music just like going bing, bing, bing all the time. Grace, she writes pop songs. You know, she's just like into pop music. Mm-hmm. You know, she's into Sabrina Carpenter and Ava Max and all of that American pop that's on the top of the charts. And Jojo, he's into underground, urban, trap, rap, melodic kind of emo, SoundCloud kind of like, I don't know how you describe that genre, but sometimes it's like really staunch and heavy and distorted, but there's always this melodic thing going on inside it.
Should we give him a spin? Should we play both of them back to back?
Yeah.
If we're going to play both of them, what order should we play them in?
Okay. So this first one is like, these are unreleased, right? They're probably going to be released later in the year, but I wouldn't normally play these on a radio station. But BFM's different, eh?
Yes.
You can do whatever you want on BFM.
Yep.
So these are unreleased demos by my kids, and I don't even know if they'll come out sounding like this, right? But this first one, Gracie, she wrote it when she was in L.A., she wants to be a songwriter and live in LA full time. So she goes over there for a couple of months and then comes back. But I think she was having a hard time, and she was in some petrol station and she was struggling with, you know, anxiety or something like that. And she'd been to the doctor and the doctor had given her some meds for something. And she was looking at the packet and it had some numbers on it. It had 444 on it. She goes, oh my God, that's like a magic number. That's an angel number, she called it. And she's ended up tattooed 444 on her arm, you know. And she wrote this song, and she goes, oh, no, Dad, that's just a song. And I go, that's an amazing song. It's like about having this moment standing in a petrol station and looking at her, this packet from the doctor, you know. It's called Angel Numbers. And the other one is called Pretty Girl, which Jojo wrote sitting in bed a couple of weeks ago with his girlfriend. He said, oh, I'm going to write a song about you. So he wrote the song and recorded it in one night, you know. So these are just demos. This is what I hear, and, you know, they'll probably be a bit more produced or something. But
all right, let's go. Let's hear them.
Here we go.
Younger me would probably be crying herself to sleep, but I'm not really fazed, I'm just like, buy next please. And maybe it's my collagen or it's the summer breeze, but for the first time I feel like I'm good on company. I've been low, you don't even wanna know. Lost control, but that season closed, I'm good to go. Now I'm dancing at the petrol station. Send my worries on a long vacation. Angel numbers on the medication. You just can't fuck with that. I got my powers back. This confidence is effortless, don't even have to try. I'm spiritually and mentally and medically aligned. And I thought that I left you, but you know what, never mind. Cause now I know this ending was a blessing in disguise. I've been down, treading waters of self-doubt.
fuck with that. I got my pals back. Just can't fuck with that. I got my powers back. Now I'm dancing at the petrol station. Send my worries on a long vacation. Angel numbers on my medication. You just can't fuck with that. I got my powers back.
Oh, Gracie Moller with Angel Numbers. We're going to do a quick little fade out and a fade back up. We're going to play, what was your son's name? Joe Moller.
Joe, he calls himself Nodoz, N-O-D-O-Z-E. He's got some songs on SoundCloud, okay. Spotify.
All right. Okay, this is Joe Moller's tune. Okay, Nodoz's tune.
Pretty Girl.
Pretty Girl. Nice little showcase of the Moller family songwriting there in action.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't normally sound sweet. I just chose that one because it was like a...
Breakfast radio?
Yes, breakfast radio. Yeah. The other ones are like quite hardcore.
Now, if you've just joined us and you're wondering who our guest is this morning, we've got Buzz Moller from Voom. 95BFM presents Zoom. Voom is celebrating the release of their forthcoming album, Something Good Is Happening, out May 16th. And you guys are bringing a brand new live show to Double Whammy on Friday the 23rd of May. It's not really any excuse for not going, people. You get your tickets right now from moshtix.co.nz.
Yep.
We've actually got a double pass to give away this morning. That's right, a double pass. We've got a question or anything like that? Did you ever jump over the fence at the King's Arms? Let us know if you did. This is potentially...
Yeah, you had to climb up almost like a 100-meter high wall.
Dangerous. I have memories of seeing people do it.
Yeah,
I reckon just dropping, you know, that casual drop into the garden.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, "Yeah, they made it."
Yeah, it's like, you idiot. Good on you.
yeah. Any questions? Any Voom related trivia?
Oh crikey! Okay. How long is it since we've put out an album?
Okay.
Roughly.
All right.
Okay, so this album's coming out this year, 2025.
When was
the last one?
Are we talking reissues here, or are we talking the original?
The last album that we actually put out that was a real issue.
Okay.
It was called Hello, Are You There?
Yeah, we're not including the reissue date. We're talking when that was originally released.
Yeah, when that was originally released.
Okay, 5395, let us know. Now, Buzz, we're going to go out on a tune called We Don't Care. What can you tell us about this, mate?
We Don't Care. Oh, it was a jam. like most of our songs, it came from a jam. Like, ready, guys, 1, 2, 3, go. We used to have these cards, a bit like these oblique strategy cards that Brian Eno put out, and you just have funny things written on them. So you'd read it, have a laugh, and then you go, 1, 2, 3, go, let's sing a song about that, and out would pop a song. And I can't remember what we were even singing about with this one, but it was like came from just a jam like that. And I think the main hook of the chorus was in it, and then later on I made up the verse lyrics. Agonised over the verse lyrics for months and years.
All right, let's hear it. This is Voom, We Don't Care. Hey, Buzz, thank you so much for coming in this morning. What a treat to have you here.
Thank you, Johnny.
Everyone
out
there.
I hope your arm heals well on the new diet or whatever it is.
Yeah, my diet of calcium and...
Oh, is it what it is?
I don't know, something, whatever.
Large glass of milk.
Yeah.
Put milk in your coffee.
Green veggies, I think, also natural and recommended for a broken wrist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereabouts did you break
just
it?
There. Just
Can
there.
Can you remember the moment that the guy hit you?
Yeah, I mean, I was riding home and had a head-on with another cyclist on the cycleway. And flipped over the handlebars, landed in a bush.
Was it on a pathway that has CCTV?
Yeah, maybe, actually.
You could trace, you get could the, track it down.
The actual footage.
Yeah, put it up on the BFM website.
Maybe that's my project for the rest of the
viral,
day.
Go mate.
All right, hey, Buzz, thank you so much. Everyone out there, get your tickets to see Voom at Double Whammy, Friday the 23rd of May. Cheers, mate.
Thank you. See you, guys.
We won't go.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.